Welcome to the broadcast of Exceedingly Abundant Ministries in cooperation with Bethel Worship Center of Joplin, Missouri. Their goal is to win the lost, disciple Christians, set the captives free, and see the sick made whole. Bethel Worship Center is located at 3125 West 20th Street in Joplin. Weekly service times are Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and a Wednesday evening Bible study at 6:30 p.m. For more information, visit their website at betheljoplin.org. Now, here is Pastor Gary Culp with today's message.
Well, good afternoon. The Lord bless you. What do we know for sure? God is good all the time, all the time. God is good. Let's pray for souls. Father, we want everyone to go to heaven, so we're at least going to pray for the salvation of every boy and girl, man and woman in Missouri, Kansas, Oklahoma, and Arkansas. Father, we're praying for their past, present, future spouses, all the children they have now in the future and their family members, all grandchildren they have now in the future and their family members, all great-grandchildren they have now in the future and family members. And yes, Lord, we want to add all their aunts, uncles, cousins, nephews, and nieces and their families. Yes, Lord, we're going big. Father, we cry out that you would reveal yourself to each and every person, Lord Jesus. You would reveal to them your incarnation, your perfect life, the great miracles you did on the cross, on earth, your death, burial, and resurrection, your precious atoning blood, the revelation and understanding by your stripes we were healed would come to every boy and girl, man and woman. And yes, Father, they'd humble themselves before you, repent of their sins, receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, being born again from above. And then, Father, you get every person to a good Bible-believing teaching church. They'd then be baptized in water, receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Every Christian will become a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're crying for every demon-possessed, every demonized and captive person to be set free. And yes, Lord Jesus, all the sick to be healed from every sickness and every disease. And yes, Lord Jesus, your people to receive and walk in financial abundance, prosperity, debt cancellation of their debts, the full blessing of Abraham, whom God blessed in all things. And we agree for this right now. Everyone born again from above, in Jesus' name. But also, Father God, we want to pray for the Jewish people. We love them so much. Father, we are crying out for their salvation. Father, please remove their blinders and scales off their hearts and minds. Reveal to them, Lord Jesus Christ, that you are their Messiah. You are Savior and Lord, and they'd repent and get saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit and truly begin to live for you. Father, according to your word, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. According to your word, we declare they have title deed to all the land of Canaan. Father, restore all that land to them. And we also, Father, pray for their protection, Father God. Your hedge of protection about the nation Israel and the Jewish people. And Father, if anyone tries to harm them, you would stop them. And if they persist, Father, you would kill them. And we thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Also, Father God, we're rejoicing. Oh, Father, thank you that you had your way, that you intervened in the last election and your servant Donald Trump and J.D. Vance got in. Thank you, Jesus, Lord. We're seeing so many good things. But, Father, we're not just praying for them. We're praying for all their cabinet appointees, past, present, future, their family members and extended families. We ask for your angelic protection about them and your hedge of protection. Father, may they rule according to righteousness and truth, according to your word, and according to our Constitution, Father God, and use them, Father God, to destroy the works of the devil, enforcing that victory you won on the cross, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for that by faith. But Father, we still need your protection in our nation. Father, continue to use the Trump administration and your angelic host to expose and drive out of this country every terrorist, every foreign soldier, every prisoner, every pedophile, every drug trafficker, every sex trafficker, everyone who has come into America to do evil. You would expose them and drive them out of this country and not allow them to do their wicked, evil deeds. Father, please protect our water tables, which includes the water in our wells and city water. We agree they will not be poisoned or tampered with. Father, protect our food, our farms, our farmers, our food production plants. Don't let anybody put any mRNA material into our food, water, plants, and animals. And Father, may there be abundance of crops this year, enough to feed everyone in America, and then send food around the world. We agree for that right now. And Father, protect our power grid. Don't let any person or nation hack our electricity, gas, oil, or coal. We agree there'll be a no more diminishing of these resources. We declare fossil fuels are a blessing of the Lord, and we declare in 2025 we're going to be energy independent again. And thank you, Lord. You're the one that gave us these fossil fuels, and thank you that you're destroying the works of the devil. Thank you, Jesus. And also, Father God, we pray that you would annihilate and destroy the monkeypox virus, the bird flu virus, every virus that they're creating in those bio labs. We declare they're destroyed right now in Jesus' names. We declare you're destroying and annihilating the bio labs, and you're destroying and annihilating the vaccinations that are being created to maim, kill, and destroy your people. We declare those things destroyed now. In Jesus' name. We also declare there will be no centralized digital currency until after the rapture of the church. And until that time, dollar bills and cash will be strong and be used in abundance. And we thank you for answering this prayer right now in Jesus' name. All right. Well, today we're going to be talking about Christian baptism. It is important. It's very important. But you just don't go get baptized, right? There's something you got to do first. Number one, you've got to hear the gospel. You wouldn't even want to get baptized unless you heard the gospel. You know what the gospel is? The good news. You know, the Bible does describe what the good news is here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll start verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Remember, all true believers persevere to the end, okay? For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ came down from the glories of heaven, became man, lived a sinlessly perfect life, went to the cross and died for our sins and rose again victorious. And then at the whipping post, his stripes have healed us. Oh, thank you, Jesus. That is good news. We can be forgiven for all our sins, have a home in heaven, have a relationship with our Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus being our Savior and Lord, deliverer and healer, have the Holy Spirit empowering us with his fruit and gifts abounding in us. Oh, thank you, Jesus. But you got to hear the gospel first. And you know, we need to remember this wonderful truth as we think about Jesus' death on the cross. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he, God the Father, hath made him, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, he is perfect, to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So you really need to understand, when Jesus died on the cross, he literally took all the sins of mankind. Every sin you've ever committed or will commit, he took upon himself at that cross. So you and I could be forgiven and be reconciled to God. He who is perfect became sin for us. Don't ever wonder if Jesus loves you. He loves you forever, and he paid for your salvation. So, we have to hear the good news of the gospel, and when we hear what Jesus did for us and our need for Jesus, what do? First, we repent. Now, we're going to focus on Christian baptism, but let's establish this basis. Before Jesus came, there was a baptism going on, but it wasn't believer's baptism. It was the baptism of repentance. Notice here in Mark chapter 1, beginning verse 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, who shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness, and here it is, and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized by him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, this is not believer's baptism. This is a baptism that was of repentance, preparing the way for Jesus, the Messiah, who was coming and was becoming manifest. So this was not believer's baptism. This was a baptism of repentance. But that just lets us show repentance is important. You know, a lot of people preach what I call a cheap grace. And it's not a Bible grace that you get saved and you don't have to repent anymore. Well, that's insane and that's nuts. Do you understand that? But let me prove that to you. First of all, we need to understand that when Jesus and John the Baptist came, they had a message. We want to look at their message. Their message dealt with repentance. The first thing John did was preach repentance, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Then when Jesus shows up in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, just beginning his ministry, it says, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. There is no salvation without repenting of your sins. Now the truth is, as the Holy Spirit is convicting you and drawing you to be saved, and people are praying for you, and you're hearing the word of God, and you come under that conviction of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And if the Holy Spirit is involved in your salvation experience, you do repent. You do confess your sins. But I want you to prove to you, even after on the day of Pentecost, Peter began to preach. And notice what he told people the first thing they need to do? Acts 2:37. And now when he had heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent. Okay. Before you get baptized, you repent. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for or unto the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So you have to repent to get saved. That's what the Bible teaches. Who has to repent? Well, the Bible says everyone does. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering. And thank God for his long-suffering toward us. That means all of us. Not willing that any should perish. That means die and go to hell. But that all should come to repentance. No repentance, no salvation. Okay, you're saved. You love Jesus. I pray you're filled. You're baptized with the Holy Spirit. You're living for Jesus. Well, you found out the devil's real, right? You found out you still have that old Adamic nature that is trying to rise up and get you to sin. And we do mess up. We do sin. Well, is that okay? Is it no big deal? Well, I'm saved. No big deal. I don't have to even acknowledge that. No. When you go to the book of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 3, John on the Isle of Patmos gets taken up. Jesus gives him the revelation of the end times. Oh, and we're entering into those end times. The rapture of the church, the seven-year tribulation, the coming back of the saints to rule and reign with Jesus on earth for 1,000 years, we call the millennium, then the new heaven and new earth. Oh, it's so exciting. But as Jesus was writing, remember, he's in heaven giving this revelation to John. It's after the resurrection. Jesus is in heaven. So if anybody understands grace, Jesus Christ does. In fact, grace came by Jesus Christ. He writes a letter and has John give it to seven churches. So this is Jesus. The covenant of grace has been established, and he writes to these seven churches. Now, pretty much here's what he does on all seven, and I have to break it down. First of all, he gives a description of who he is. It's powerful. Secondly, if there's any good thing he can say to the church, he says it to them. But thirdly, he says, here's some things I don't like. going on in the church. Oh. And what does Jesus say to do? Well, let's look at a couple examples. How about the church of Laodicea, Revelation 3:19, talking to the saints. Yeah, they're saved. As many as I love. Oh, yes, Jesus loves us. I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Ooh. So, we have to repent as believers. When we do the wrong thing, the Holy Spirit will convict us. Jesus will show us, but he requires us to repent. Let's go back to the church at Pergamos, Revelation 2:15-16. So there has there also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which things I hate. Okay, they allowed false doctrine. Talk about going on today in the church. Well, is that okay? Is it okay to be woke? No, it's not. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Ho, ho. So Jesus says to Christians in churches, when they teach wrong doctrines, when they become lukewarm, does Jesus say, it's okay, guys, no big deal, you're saved? No, Jesus says, repent or else. Do you get the picture here? How about that next church, Church of Thyatira? Let old Jezebel get in and start teaching wrong things. And again, it had to do with sex. You know what I'm saying? You know you're in the wrong kind of church when the preacher says fornication, adultery, homosexual, lesbianism, abortion is okay. You're in the wrong church. Jezebel has entered the pulpit or your denomination, and you need to get out. But notice in Revelation 2:20, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou allowest that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication, sexual sins, and to eat things sacrificed to idols. So what does Jesus say? And I gave her space to repent. Isn't it wonderful that Jesus doesn't whack us immediately? He gives us a time table to repent and get right. Thank you, Jesus. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. That's not good. So what's going to happen? Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation. Oh no, except they repent of their sins. And I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he who searcheth the minds and hearts, and I will give to every one of you according to your works. Now, does that sound like under grace? You can do anything you want, get by with it, and you don't have to repent? That's insane. Get out of those churches. Those are the end time churches that are going to be here after the rapture. They're going to be here. Probably going to take the mark of the beast, and you're going to burn in hell. Repent now while you can. So if you're living in sin and you claim to be a Christian and you're doing wrong things and you're not repented, you're just fooling yourself. And Jesus will deal with you now, not only later, but now. So receive his mercy and grace and repent. Okay. So you got to hear the gospel. You got to repent. Everyone has to repent. I have to repent every day. Okay. But you just don't repent. What do? You have to trust in Jesus. Yes, Jesus is the Savior. Galatians 3:26, for you are all the children of God by faith. Here it is, in Christ Jesus. You have to trust him. Remember the wonderful plan of salvation you see in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, literally that Jesus is Lord, you're making him Lord of your life, and you're receiving him as your Lord, and shall believe in thine heart, literally your spirit man, everything within you, that God hath raised him, Jesus, from the dead, the gospel, right? Thou shalt be saved. That means born again. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. That means right standing with God. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So no one gets saved who doesn't hear the gospel, come under the conviction power of the Holy Spirit, repent, and then they put their faith in Jesus Christ and receive him as their Savior and Lord. Oh, maybe just a couple more verses. You know this one, right? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So you have to trust in Jesus. One more. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, Jesus is talking, and believeth on him that sent me, that's Jesus, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life. Let's throw in verse 39 and 40. Jesus is teaching. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Who's me? Jesus Christ. Here's a sad word. And you will not come to me that you might have life. That means everlasting life, eternal life. You have to come to Jesus. So you have to hear the gospel. You have to repent of your sins. And once you get saved, you keep repenting of your sins when you mess up. And you receive Jesus as your Savior and Lord, and you're born again from above. So what's the first thing you do once you get saved? You get baptized. Remember the Great Commission. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus and came and spoke unto them, saying, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Remember he defeated Satan on the cross? Okay. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Okay, we're supposed to be taught. Here it is. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, praise God, even to the end of the age. Amen. What's the first thing you're supposed to do once you really get born again from above? Is get baptized. The word baptized is the word baptismo, which means to plunge, to immerse. Sprinkling is not baptism. You got to go underwater, okay? One more and then we'll explain that. Remember the Great Commission in Mark 16:15? And he said unto them, again, Jesus Christ says, go you into all the world and preach the gospel, there it is, to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So Jesus expects you. Jesus commands you to get baptized. So is Jesus your Savior and Lord? Then you will get baptized, because that's the first thing he asks you to do. Oh, we can't stop there. Well, let's look at some good stuff. And these signs shall follow those who believe. In my name they shall cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Say, thank you, Jesus. Okay. So in a sense, baptism is a public testimony that you're saying, I am identifying with Jesus. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins and rose again. But it also, it's a picture of this. You're old, man. You're old. Well, let's use myself. Old Gary has died, and now the new Gary, who's born again, raises up to serve Jesus. Well, where do we see that good picture in the Bible? How about the book of Romans 6? We'll start verse 3. See, God wants us to understand these things. Romans 6. And we'll begin with verse 3. Know ye not that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? See, that's why you go under the water. You're saying, I believe as Jesus died for my sins, okay? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Oh. So not only am I publicly saying, I'm no longer serving the devil. Jesus is now my Savior and Lord. I'm not ashamed of Jesus, and I'm going to prove it by obedience to baptism, saying through the baptism that Jesus died for my sins and rose again. I've received him, and now my old life is over. That's being buried, and my new life in Christ is coming forth. Verse 6 says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Okay? Not serve sin. Okay? For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with him. Do you get the picture? You are, through baptism, identifying yourself with Jesus, saying, I believe Jesus died for my sins and rose again, his death, burial, and resurrection, and you're painting a picture of your new allegiance to him, that your old man or old person has died, and now the new person, born again, is raised up to serve Jesus. Boy, that's powerful, isn't it? And you know, in the Bible, it seems most of the time, once they got saved, they got baptized immediately. Let's look at an illustration over here in Acts chapter 16. Remember Paul and Silas and the Philippian jailers? God sent a great earthquake. The prison jailer thought, oh no, I'm going to have to kill myself. Paul says, we're all still here. He comes under conviction, and notice verse 30. And brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spoke unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. Here it is. And was baptized, he and all his immediately. Isn't that wonderful? So Jesus says, once you hear the gospel, you believe it. Holy Spirit has shown you, I need Jesus. But you know you're a sinner. So under the conviction power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, I repent of all my sins. Lord Jesus, forgive me. I've been living my own life. I've done all the wrong things. Forgive me. And then you what? You put your faith in Jesus. Lord Jesus Christ, I'm asking you to come into my heart and spirit, to be my Savior, to be Lord of my life. I'm going to live from you for this day forth. And you're saved. You're born again. Now Jesus says, okay, you belong to me. Let everybody know you belong to me by getting baptized. So you go forward at church, confess your faith in Jesus, and say, I want to get baptized because Jesus wants me, and I'm not ashamed of Jesus, and I'm going to let everybody know what I believe about Jesus. And you get baptized. You're standing up, you go down in that water all the way under, you come up again, rejoicing that you have given your life to Jesus and you have identified yourself with him. And he blesses you for getting baptized. Do you understand that? Have you done that? Have you heard the gospel? Well, you heard it today. Have you repented of your sins? You know, some people, when they get convicted of sin, don't repent. They walk away. Now, I don't want to do that. You can decide not to do it, but you're going to go to hell, of course. But also you can decide, yes, Lord Jesus, I'm ready. I repent of my sins. Lord Jesus, I want you to be my Savior and Lord. And you ask him into your heart. And he gloriously saves you. And you have a change of heart. The Holy Spirit regenerates you. Your spirit man is alive, and you're alive in Christ. And then what do? You get baptized and serve the Jesus from now on. Oh, God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast of Exceedingly Abundant Ministries in cooperation with Bethel Worship Center of Joplin, Missouri. Bethel Worship Center is located at 3125 West 20th Street in Joplin. Weekly service times are Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and a Wednesday evening Bible study at 6:30 p.m. For more information, visit their website at betheljoplin.org or send an email to Pastor Gary. His email is garyculp@yahoo.com. Please join them again next week as they continue to expound on God's truth in a relevant and practical way.